Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you all at home know, the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line is open at 504-260-1870. I'm not the dimmest bulb in the fixture, and I try to understand what these people, pharmacy benefit managers, do and where the governor's coming from on this, and CVS. And Rena Conti joins us now, an associate professor in the Questrom School of Business at Boston University, to try to help us explain it. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Great. Good morning.
Go slow here, okay, and hold my hand. I don't want to hurt myself, but we've had this debate in Louisiana with CVS and their PBM, their pharmacy benefit management company, which is Caremark, I think. But yet, my insurance is with OptumRx, but the only way I can get a which I believe is a pharmacy benefit manager. So if I don't get a prescription from them, the only place I can go is CVS, which seems like a lot of collusion or something there. I don't know. Let's go back to Pharmacy Benefit Managers 101. How did they come about, and what are they supposed to do?
Sure. So Pharmacy Benefit Managers are a institution that is that contracts with employers and health plans to help manage our pharmacy benefits. What they do for us is they construct a formulary that essentially tells us what kinds of drugs we have access to and how much we are going to pay at the pharmacy counter for the drugs that are prescribed to us.
Okay, so let me try it this way. I'm a patient, and I go to the doctor, and the doctor says, all right, Tommy, here you go. Take two of these in the morning, and I hope you feel better. So that from that point, I go to the drugstore, or maybe I don't, because I have OptumRx, which is a pharmacy benefit manager?
Yeah, that's right. So when you go to the pharmacy to fill a prescription, you have a card. That card will say on it maybe the name of your insurance or more typically the name of a pharmacy benefit manager, whether it be Optum or CVS Caremark. It is that card that is basically determining whether you get access to that drug or not at the pharmacy counter, whether the pharmacy can fill that prescription without some sort of additional check by your doctor. And it also determines how much you pay at the pharmacy counter for that drug. Is it fully insured? In other words, you don't pay anything for that prescription. You pay a nominal amount, $3, $5 for that prescription, or whether you pay a lot more money. Some people who are on certain types of specialty drugs might be quite shocked when they go to the pharmacy counter and are asked to pay $1,000, even $5,000 to fill their prescription. It is the pharmacy benefit manager that is determining whether you get that prescription and how much you pay at the pharmacy counter.
Okay, well, first of all, I went to see the doctor, and the doctor said, Tommy, you need to take two of these So why is it the pharmacy benefit manager's business, or why should they get involved in what the doctor told me? Because the doctor obviously thinks I should take two of these, or does it go back to pharmaceutical salespeople visiting the doctors, and that's why the doctor's prescribing that drug to begin with? I'm just trying to be fair here, Dr. Conti.
Yeah, exactly. So we know from decades of research that a prescription that a doctor writes is complicated. And it's complicated because it's both a function of doctors' expert judgment, but it can be also very influenced by promotional activities and other things that may or may not be actually good for patients. And a great example of this is doctors may not know that the drug that they want to prescribe may also come in a safe, effective, and much cheaper form. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But the bottom line is that the pharmacy benefit managers originally came to be because they were helping doctors, or really your insurer, your employer, make better, more cost-effective decisions for us. So in other words, they would help steer a patient towards safe and effective, cheaper forms of exactly the same drug, or drugs that might even be have more scientific evidence to support their use in treating you.
So, you know, there's an old expression, when somebody comes seeking equity, they have to have clean hands. And that's why I wanted to bring up the pharmaceutical salespeople and the doctors, because I would have to ask you, Dr. Conti, is that what led partially to the creation of pharmacy benefit managers? Because it seems like pharmaceutical salespeople at one point were the hot ticket. Now maybe not so much with doctors, because there are more limits with pharmacy benefit managers. And has that been a boon for the patient, a bad thing for the patient? Take me through all of that. You study this for a living.
Yeah, exactly. So the rise of promotion that really steers doctors to use drugs that are really expensive and may not really help patients or may even harm patients has been a focus of a lot of consternation by employers, by health plans, and by policymakers. And actually part of those activities led to the opioid crisis, which truly has, you know, affected so many people and families in a very negative way. And so pharmacy benefit managers serve an important function as a break on the influence that pharmaceutical companies have on promoting drugs that may increase our spending without actually producing real health for patients.
Regulations have changed as it relates to pharmaceutical salespeople and doctors, and what can they give and what they can't give, or what doctors can receive and can't receive. Am I correct in that or not?
That's correct. Yeah.
Tell me how. Like, what's changed? Because for a while, if you were a pharmaceutical salesman, people were eschewing medical school to be pharmaceutical salespeople because they were making more money and had a better time, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, and had a better time of it, but not so much now. Tell me what's changed as far as that goes, Dr. Conti.
Sure. So two things. The first is there's been a lot more regulation at the state and federal level on what can and cannot be promoted to physicians. It is very common now for hospitals to not allow pharmaceutical company representatives to actually come into their facility at all. But in addition, we've had the rise of these middlemen, pharmacy benefit managers, that are really sitting on top of physician judgment, determining, I like to think of it on the supply side, mm-hmm. whether or not patients can actually get these things. In theory, pharmacy benefit managers should be working for us and for our employers to make sure that we get the right drug at the right price to treat our condition.
Would pharmacy benefit managers exist? And I guess this is a you know, you don't know for a fact, but I'm just wondering in your opinion, if the pharmaceutical salespeople and the doctors hadn't gone crazy and brought this on themselves.
Really hard to tell.
Okay.
Because one form or another, a pharmacy benefit manager have existed in the United States since the 90s, so predating the opioid epidemic and a lot of concern over promotional activities by firms. But really, I think what is of concern is that pharmacy benefit managers acting as agents for us and for our employers, which is a good idea, has morphed as a business strategy into activities that I don't think we anticipated when this really started.
Which is an excellent stopping point, because we'll pick it up there. We come back. Somebody said this is so frustrating for us in the business, who seem you are overcomplicating the issue. It's not about the salespeople. Well, I would have to disagree with you. I do know a lot of people will text in, Dr. Conte, you can address as we come back and say, well, if you don't like pharmaceutical salesmen, you're not going to like not getting any free samples from your doctor. And I understand that part of it, but I also want to talk about, when we come back, how, as I understand it now, all pharmaceutical salespeople can do is deliver food to take out food to doctors' offices and drop off samples. So that influence has gone down as well. We'll pick it up. We come back. 922 traffic. No, not traffic. Just a break on WWL. All right, 927, Dr. Rena Conte is our guest, Associate Professor, Questrom School of Business, Boston University. Her research focuses on the organization, financing, and regulation of medical care. She's written extensively on the pricing, demand, and supply of prescription drugs. Doctor, this person's second part of the text popped up just now, and they said it is about price of the drugs based on plans and reimbursements back to pharmacies. It's not about salespeople, but we had to get here to begin with, right?
That's right. I mean, the bottom line is that we wouldn't have entities that are multi-billion-dollar firms whose job it is to control what patients get at the pharmacy counter and how much they pay if we didn't live through a system where there's a lot of inappropriate prescribing by physicians that raised prices, raised spending, and actually produced bad outcomes for patients.
All right, let me tell you this. I'm no Rena Conte, but it seems to me pharmacy benefit managers started as a good thing, and then suddenly they realized, man, they got a lot of money going on here. Somebody can make a lot of money doing this, and that's when they got into money-making business. Am I inferring something that's not true there or not?
I would say the original purpose of PBMs to act as a brake on inappropriate, wasteful spending that might actually harm real patients is a good thing and continues on to this day.
Okay.
What has become more complicated are two behaviors that pharmacy benefit managers have pursued that clearly are making them a lot of money and may not actually be in patients' interests or employers' interests.
What are they?
The first is profiting off the price of the drug that you actually get at the pharmacy counter by negotiating side deals with drug companies that essentially pay them to allow you to access one drug over another. Sometimes, so this is called rebates, and they have become ubiquitous in the field, and they are a source of huge profits for these entities.
Wait. Let me jump in for a second, Dr. Conte.
Please.
I'm trying to understand this. So it seems as though we're back to influencing somebody to push one drug over the other. Back in the day, it might have been the pharmaceutical salesman and the doctor, but now it's the pharmaceutical benefit manager and the drug company with the side deal, with the REIT. Is that what you called it?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
So think of it this way. Pharmacy benefit managers are kind of serving a function like a post office. They're basically, delivering your mail or getting you to a prescription that you need. But the post office doesn't make more money when they deliver something that's more expensive to you or more highly valuable. But in the case of pharmacy benefit managers, they do. They take a cut off the price of the drug that's actually being delivered to you.
And pass the savings on to themselves.
That's right. And they can either retain that benefit for themselves in the form of profit, or they can pass it off to our employers or our health plans in the form of savings that we actually accrue on premiums that we are charged. What the evidence has suggested is that PBMs are actually retaining a lot of that profit for themselves and not passing it along to consumers. That causes a lot of consternation.
So what's the second thing?
The second thing is that pharmacy benefit managers have realized that they can make more money off the sale of drugs that are higher priced rather than getting you a prescription for a safe, effective, and cheaper version of the same thing. And it's this behavior and the profits off of disrupting generic competition that has gotten a whole bunch of states and the federal government really interested in policy change.
All right, let me move to CVS here. And what happened in Louisiana? They said that they tried to pass a bill in the legislature, Dr. Conte, I don't know if you followed it or not, but that would say CVS, the pharmacy, couldn't have their pharmacy benefit manager company anymore, Caremark. And CVS said, well, in essence, if that's the case, we're going to shut down drugstores and we'll stick with the pharmacy benefit manager part of it. So the bill kind of died. And now the attorney general's looking at the use of information and CVS sending out text messages. I got one saying that they're going to shut down the drugstore. Pharmacists will be out of work if this happens. How do you, we've talked about problems and here in Louisiana with that as a backdrop, how do you fix all of this?
Well, it's a mess, frankly, because to be honest, pharmacies in your local community are the highest, are really the source of medical care for so many people at the local level. If we didn't have our local pharmacist to ask questions, to dispense us medicines, that would be a critical infrastructure that we'd be missing, and it would lead to bad health for many people. And so figuring out what to do here is very tricky. So there have been a number of proposals at the state level, not just in Louisiana, but other places. One policy that has moved through in some states is that pharmacy benefit managers must pass along all the rebates that they get to plans or to patients. Maybe the state can consider that. The other thing that could happen here is to separate out is to ensure more pricing transparency. So if patients know what the price of the drug should be at the pharmacy counter, then they're going to be less, then the pharmacy benefit manager might be less able to charge higher prices to patients than they otherwise would be able to. But all of these things are going to take work.
All right. So let me ask you this. Drugstores, big drugstores are running small drugstores out of business. I would imagine that's because if, in the case of CVS, they own Caremark, pharmacy benefit manager can supplement some of their operations or offset some of their operations. So it's, I guess here's the bottom line question, Dr. Conte, and that is how hard is it for a standalone pharmacy to compete against the big chain? And ultimately, are there going to be any standalone pharmacies with them owning pharmacy benefit management companies And then at that point, do you have monopolies? And then we're all screwed.
Well put. Yeah. So,
well, I'm a common guy. Yeah. I'm not. I told you I was no Rena Conti, right?
I mean, so yes, pharmacy benefit managers, as they are currently configured, as both a benefit service and owning or owned by a pharmacy chain, cause a lot of pressure on independent pharmacists. And they do so in a variety of different ways. They do so by a lot of pricing pressure on the independent pharmacies, where the independent pharmacies essentially can't compete with the prices that the chains get on the drugs that they're purchasing. In addition, pharmacy benefit managers drive a really hard bargain on independent pharmacists wanting to be part of their network and therefore get sales through patients. Also a problem, we've seen federal policy rules that have tried to stop those type of really onerous networking requirements that really harm independent pharmacists and might drive them to be out of this business. So yes, this is absolutely a challenge. And maybe this is a place where some state laws or state policy action can help, because independent pharmacies, well, the practice of pharmacy is ultimately regulated by the state, not the federal level. So if the state wants to step in and say, no, we value our independent pharmacists and we want to keep them in business, keep them as a important touch point for patients to get medical care, it is in their right to do so.
I got to ask you this before we let you go, and it's about supply, because I'm getting texts from people saying, family member had to go without hormone replacement therapy for 3 months in an area of Louisiana because they couldn't get it. Somebody else saying this one's script mark.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Mark, whatever it is not shipping Wegovy or this, or they can't get the drugs. What effect has all of this had on the availability of drugs that people desperately need in some cases?
Listen, this is a big problem. Some combination of pharmacy benefit managers and your insurer are essentially restraining access to drugs. And we have seen reports of pharmacy benefit managers constraining people's access to chronic meds, whether it be for obesity, for other types, for cancer, for immunological conditions. We're talking about the difference between staying well, taking care of your family, going to work, and not. This is a challenge, and one that frankly, again, it's not just, we can't just let our employers or the health plan solve this problem. They're going to need support from us and from our public policymakers to increase access.
So now we're talking about basically insurance companies deciding it's cheaper, and I'm not trying to be graphic here, but it's cheaper maybe in some cases for people to die than to provide them the coverage that they need.
I would say it a little bit differently, which okay. is, there is a cost and benefit trade-off mm-hmm. that some combination of our health plans and our pharmacy benefit managers are making, and that can cause downstream people to not necessarily get the drugs that they need. And there should be a way to very quickly overturn bad decisions or more costs on patients to get the things that they need. But right now, our system doesn't necessarily allow that to be easy. And because of that, we have lots of stories of patients who have cancer, who have really serious disease, having trouble negotiating with their pharmacy benefit manager to actually get the drugs that they need.
What I said is not that far off. It wasn't very nice, but it's not that far off, is it? Doctor? Never mind. You don't have to answer. Everybody knows the answer. You don't have to answer.
I don't know.
Everybody knows. It's all right. It's good. 940. Thank you, Dr. Rena Conti, talking about pharmacy benefit managers and some of the ugly truths contained therein. I can speak my mind. I don't think she's available to do that, but I think we all understand. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the Pelicans draft here on WWL. Right now, traffic. 9:46, 14 till 10, cruising along here on this Thursday morning. Ollie Cosell joins us, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. How you doing, Ollie?
Good morning, Tommy. Had an explosive night last night with the Pelicans.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Jump right in, please.
Yeah, so the Pelicans made two first-round draft picks yesterday, grabbing two players in the lottery, where Joe Dumars selected Jeremiah Fears, a guard out of Oklahoma, with the seventh pick that the Pelicans had. And then they traded up to get Derek Queen out of Maryland at the 13th pick. So two very polarizing players, but two guys with all-star type of upside. So it would be interesting to see how this all pans out.
Polarizing how?
Yeah, so if you're an eye test type of person, if you're a player, through your lens, you really love these two players, right? You can obviously see the strengths of, say, Jeremiah Fears. Although he's a smaller guard and doesn't shoot it very well, he's one of the best ball handling slash kind of playmakers at his age, where he can get to the rim at any time. And that's a very necessary skill. You just watch the finals, Oklahoma City, Indiana, being able to break down a defense on command, thereby giving yourself and your team an advantage on every possession. That's a huge plus. So on the flip side, analytics, those type of people mm-hmm. that look at numbers past what you've done in the past, they don't like it, like I said, because he doesn't shoot the ball well, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't check these boxes where you think he's going to be an efficient scorer. So, like I said, that's why it's polarizing, right? One half said, depending on which side you're sitting on, it's either a great day for the Pelicans or it was a bad day.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the other one, Derek Queen.
Yeah, Derek Queen, he's you know, when I watch him play, I don't know if you watch any games that Maryland played this mm-hmm. year, but he reminds you of one of those throwbacks, big men who can do everything, right? Kind of like Domantas Sabonis today in the NBA, but maybe in yesteryear, I think maybe more like Chris Webber. Somebody that plays underneath the rim, but he's got all this great footwork, can score from anywhere. He's not the biggest guy, right? He's not 7 feet tall, but he's big enough. He's got a body of, about 250 pounds, 6'9", 6'10", and he's a great passer. He sees the floor well. And I think that's what Joe Dumars emphasized. He wants guys that not only collapse a defense, but are aggressive and can make something happen. And he pointed out to us, right, what just happened in the finals, how Oklahoma City, Indiana, seemingly all the players that stepped on the court for those teams were always making something happen. And he thinks that's the style that the NBA is trending towards, that you have to have, you know, just a roster full of these players. And he thinks that Derek Queen, Jeremiah Fears, really fit that bill.
So tell me again about this analytics thing, because I'm a little bit confused about eye test and analytics.
Yeah, so, you know, you evaluate prospects from a variety of different lenses. You just go watch them play a game. You may be overwhelmed by how well they play, right? How they move differently than other players on the court. So that's kind of the eye test, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're an analytics guy and all of a sudden you look at the box score and say that he scored 20 points, that's great. But then he took, say, 17 shots to do it. Not so good. Mm-hmm. And just today's analytics, they just want you to be the most efficient player possible. And Derek Queen, Jeremiah Fears were not. Jeremiah Fears had issues with some turnovers. Like I said, he shot well under 30% from three-point range. Derek Queen, he's not a good shooter either. Even though people think in time he'll be a much better shooter, he's not currently. So like I said, that's why people say these are kind of gamble picks if you're a guy that believes in the numbers on what you've done previously. So, yeah, I sit somewhere in the middle. Look, I saw what David Griffin did, Tommy, in his 6 years, where he tried to do much more analytical thinking. And the Pelicans landed some good players in drafts, but it didn't translate to winning. So that's why I think Joe Dumars, it's definitely a different approach. We just have to see how it pans out.
I'm a football guy, not a basketball guy, but what I'm hearing seems, well, if you pass the eye test and not the analytics test, well, then maybe you can be coached up. But if you don't pass the eye, well, I guess if the analytics are there, you don't have to pass the eye test, right?
Yeah, no, but I think you're on the right train of thought here. You don't need to, say, stoke the fires of a Jeremiah Fears or a Derek Queen. Similar to maybe like, say, a Herb Jones or a Zion if he's in shape. But there's also a lot of passivity people felt like maybe with this Pelicans roster. They weren't, right, for instance, last year, they weren't tough at all. Right? They weren't a guy or guys that grabbed the bull by the horns. And so that's, I think, kind of the transformation, like I said, Joe Dumars wants. Even though you might not be the best at getting the ball through the hoop, and remember, these are young guys, they could develop into being that, but in general, that thought is you at least bring this toughness, this edge about not only the way you play the game, but also what you bring to the game, right? And so I think, like I said, I like the change. It's a different, fresh approach that could work. You know, Joe Dumars, I know people look at his career, Tommy, in Detroit and think of his last 6-7 years, but that first 6-7 years was a bang, right? Mm-hmm. Detroit made it to the Eastern Conference Finals for, what was it, four, five, six times in a row, won a championship based on this kind of thinking.
Do you think they gave up too much in terms of value?
They might have, right? I mean, that's the problem. That's why I think people are having the biggest problem with Derek Queen trading up to get him, because the Pelicans traded away a future first-round pick, next year's pick, completely unprotected. Mm-hmm. So if things go sideways next year for the Pelicans, and you know, injuries happen, we mm-hmm. see it all the time, then they're going to be standing there without a draft pick, with a bad record, and no real way to improve your team next year, if it's a bad team.
Tell me about tonight. Some possibilities. They got what, one pick left?
They've got one pick left. It's in the second round. I'm curious where they'll go, right? You've already just drafted two young guys, and you don't want to overburden the roster that's already, you know, the oldest player, Tommy? It's DeJounte Murray at age 29. So you don't have any real true veterans on this roster. And adding yet another young guy doesn't make that much sense to me. So I'm wondering if they just do what's called a draft and stash, where you hereby draft a select a player, but he's already currently playing overseas and he stays maybe over there for another year or two. A lot like what the Pelicans did a few years ago with Carlo Matkovic. They drafted him, but didn't bring him over for a few years.
I guess, you know, they're not staying the same. They're changing. The time will only tell. I know there's some national stuff about this not being good and that not being good, and they criticize the Saints draft, and everybody has an opinion on everything. But I guess we'll never know, will we, until next season. About what point do you think the team would begin to gel, or we'll know what kind of team the Pelicans are going to be next year?
You know, honestly, Tommy, we're not going to know until they get healthy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Trey Murphy's expected to be ready close to the start of the season. Herb Jones should definitely be ready, but DeJounte is not going to be ready. So those are two key guys that probably may not start the season next year. So we're honestly not going to know till probably, what, December, January, and how this works out.
Thank you, Ollie. Appreciate it as always.
Absolutely, Tommy. Have
Ollie
a good rest of your week.
You too. Credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. Again, you don't know. I go back to Matthew McConaughey. It's a wazzy, it's a woozy, fugazi, fugazi. Nobody knows. I just hope it plays out well and it works out. We'll find out what Noel's got planned when we come back on WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.